Welcome to season 2, episode 23 of The Mentor's Voice. This is the final episode of season 2. I'm Chris Morbin, president of Marcentum, and I'm here with Christy Kramer from Leading Age. Christy, tell us a little bit about our mentor for this final episode in season 2.
All right, Chris. Yes, our final episode. How exciting. So we have a mentor who has been a preceptor with our summer enrichment program. And her name is Christian Grunder. And she's the VP of Human Resources for Givens Communities, which is in Asheville, North Carolina. We've had 2 students now intern with them over the summertime. So any students who are looking for summer internships, this is a really good episode for you to listen to. She has a bachelor's in music. So it just goes to show you that we all kind of get exposed to senior living and aging services along, you know, different paths along the way. And so she came into aging services and now she has her master's in human resources and she is the VP of human resources. So she's a great person to follow if you don't necessarily have that degree in aging services. And then also because she does hint a little bit in this episode about the fact that they pretty much find internships for people if they just call up and are inquiring. So don't flood her, but if you're interested in an internship in Asheville, North Carolina, this might be a great opportunity.
Super cool opportunity. And I love that, what you mentioned about the background in music and then transitioning into human resources. Very cool. Love that. And there is a lot of music in the Asheville area. So that makes sense in my brain. I don't know if Christian is still, if she's still involved in that, but very, very cool. As always, we are thankful for Adam Snyder. He has been a tremendous help. He is the student interviewer in this episode. And so we are really excited for you to get to listen to this, The Mentor's Voice, season 2, episode 23, featuring Christian Grunder.
Thank you so much for coming with us today and speaking with us. And to get things started off, I would like to ask you, can you please tell us your background and your current work interests?
Sure. Yes, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. My name is Christian Grunder. I am the current Vice President of Human Resources for Givens Communities, and we are located in Asheville, North Carolina. So my journey, I didn't really plan to be in this industry. I kind of landed here, and I'm really glad I did. So I have an undergraduate degree from the University of North Carolina, Asheville in music. And once I graduated with that degree, I realized I needed something I could actually get a job in, which led me to a master's program in human resources. So I worked several different jobs while I was getting my education, and I actually had a job I was really bad at, which was working for a county summer camp program for elementary and middle school kids. And I was so bad at working with the kids that they put me in charge of doing activities and planning those out for the summer, which led me to my first job in the aging services industry, which was doing activities with assisted living residents. And so that was at Givens. And I was in the right place at the right time. While I took that job, I was just starting my master's program in human resources, and I went through that program while I was working part-time with assisted living residents. And then once I graduated, I spent a year applying for jobs, and it was the time in the world where if you didn't have experience, you weren't going to get a job. And eventually an administrative assistant position that supported finance, human resources, and technology opened up. And I was able to move into that position. And since then, it's really been, you know, our organization's been growing and I've grown alongside the organization. So we started out as a single site. We then acquired another life plan community in Black Mountain, about 30 minutes from our main campus. And that allowed me to move into a full-time HR position. And so I went to HR coordinator, supporting one location, and then grew into HR manager. In 2019, my boss retired and she left that position. I was interim and then was able to move into the HR director position. And then our new CEO decided we needed title changes. And so my position changed to VP. And so that's really led me to where I'm at now.
That's amazing. And it's really great to see that, you know, you were able to make that shift to geriatrics. It doesn't have, everyone doesn't have to start from that point. And at any point we can make that shift and go into the field.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, how are you able to incorporate your previous experiences and your work experiences into your administrative duties for better work satisfaction and decreased turnover?
So I think in lots of different ways, working with residents in assisted living, I think that can teach you so many things. Mm-hmm. I know one of the main things I learned, we used to have this really sweet resident that would follow me up and down the hallway all day and always asking, what's next? What's next? And I would get so frustrated by that. Like, we just did something. But it really, I had a social worker talk to me to help reframe things about, you know, they're not going to change. They are the way they are. Everybody is, right? Yeah. And so you've got to look within yourself and figure out, how can you shift? How can you reframe, you know, your approach and what you're doing to make something work? Working with those residents also taught me how you might have a plan and you might think you know where you're going, but that doesn't mean that's what's going to actually happen. It teaches you to think on your feet, because residents might not be into what you have prepared for the day, and you might need to just pivot and do something totally different. So that's really great experience as you're wanting to move into a leadership role, thinking, you know, how do the opportunities day to day set me up for those opportunities in the future? And how can you use each little moment to get there?
Right. And speaking back to your education in the master's level for HR, mm-hmm. I wonder how that education experience has enhanced your leadership capacity in managing the vast human resources of Givens Estate. And what should students consider when weighing the benefits of pursuing graduate education?
I think for me personally, the master's degree gave me confidence. I had not worked in the HR field prior to receiving that education. And then I also received certifications related to HR, which gave me more confidence. So that's the greatest value to me, is that confidence, because a lot of times in this industry, people are going to hand you the keys and your computer and say, all right, good luck, get in there and do the job. We don't have usually a lot of staffing and a lot of people to really sit with you and train you. So I think really it's an individual choice as you're looking at what level of education is going to work for you. What field are you getting into? What's your end goal? If you know the end goal, I think it's easier to decide. If you want to be a CEO, you probably do need a master's degree. For someone in HR like myself, you probably don't. I wasn't going to get where I am now with my music degree, though. So for me, I did. But I think just utilizing all those certifications that will also help you, I think in a lot of aspects, those can be just as impactful for you as a graduate degree.
Right. For sure. And I wonder what lessons that have you really internalized, and what key learnings have you internalized that have helped you become the leader you are today, from your work experience to the master's education, to the vast experience you've had at Givens Estate, mm-hmm. and the residents. What lessons have you learned?
Sure. There's lots. A lot of them are real HR centric. And I know if there's any other HR folks listening, you know, we always talk about always assume good intent. But I think that one for everybody, I think if you start there, that's a key lesson to help guide your day. Because I see people that, you know, they'll start out in any situation and being like, well, this person's lazy or, you know, whatever. But if you always assume this person's trying, they just might have some barriers to whatever they're trying to accomplish. That's a good place to start. To me, you know, also very HR centric is listening. I think that's so, so important. I don't think that's a skill that can be undervalued, but I think sometimes it is. I think that when you're listening, you're really showing that other person that you respect them. And when you take that step, it's going to be easier to build a relationship. You're going to be able to establish trust, listening, showing that you care. Mm-hmm. And then I think also just viewing everything as an opportunity is so important as well. And I think that's something that for, you know, everybody who's younger looking to get into this industry, most of these organizations want to continuously improve. How can we be creative? How can we do things differently? Provide care another way, support our team members another way. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to get in here and really get some cool stuff accomplished.
Absolutely. And you really speak to the core of it, where it's all about really making that human connection, which is essentially what HR tries to accomplish, and make sure that people feel that they are satisfied with the work and able to move forward with the organization. And keeping people in place, keeping people within the group is really important. And so from an HR perspective, I wonder what you view are the key challenges that you anticipate future leaders will have to tackle regarding high staff turnover and quality care maintenance with fewer available staff in an aging society. You know, with the larger boomer population, baby boomer population going into the nursing home care moving forward, and much smaller Gen Z and millennial population to take care of them. How are we going to be able to do that? What can we do to maintain that?
There's just so many challenges coming our way. I think that conversation could go on for a very long time. And I think it is. I think as a society, we're grappling with that. Obviously, recruiting is a huge challenge. I think we're just in a place that we haven't been before. The demand does not meet, you know, the supply. So I think that's really up to all of us to be creative. Again, how can we do that? I think we have to realize that our jobs are sometimes more physically and emotionally demanding than other jobs. And that can be a pro and a con. Yeah, I know when we do satisfaction surveys, usually the number one thing people like about our industry is the connection they have with residents. So being able to use that as part of our recruiting strategy is important. I think having more specific branding and understanding on what we do is important. I think there's a lot of ways we can accomplish that together. We just have to get there, educate people that are receiving degrees what we do. I think another key challenge is professional development, and that leads to like career pathways, mentorship, succession planning. Since we have so many baby boomers, especially retiring right now, there's a huge knowledge gap, there's not been, at least in my organization, we have opportunity to have more successful knowledge transfer occurring to younger individuals that will be taking over, you know, the ship. Internally, we're looking at how do we more effectively succession plan? What kind of technology can we use to do that? How do we accomplish that? What metrics are we looking at? How can we build career pathways into every job? You know, we're looking at how do we do that for dining? We've got an apprenticeship program for some of our culinary staff, but we need to do that for every job, not just leadership positions. So lots of opportunity there. Technology is another big challenge, but also going to be so critical to our future. I know robotics, we're looking at having floor care robotic. Mm-hmm. I know some other retirement communities are using robotics for, you know, bringing plates to tables, making workflows, you know, more efficient so that you need less people to do some of that work. And I think just re-envisioning some of our positions, do we have an opportunity to use people that aren't certified in certain things and use other people to their higher capacity? And how can we make that happen? Just, there's so many, those are just a few.
Right. I think you really do touch upon the most important ones, looking at technologies that can be implemented on the floor to make up for last staffage, to be able to augment their ability to be able to provide quality care for certain difficult physical demanding requirements. And then using that for hiring within, working up the people that are already there to be able to have that, build that loyalty to the organization and to the field is really important as well. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, circling back to the current day present issues, what challenges have you had to tackle as, you know, the Vice President of Human Resources, and what have you done to address them, I guess, as this relates to COVID-19 and the challenge that are going now on?
Yes. Well, COVID-19 is definitely one of the big ones. I took my position, I had a month for the overall position, and then here was COVID. So lovely gift for all of us to deal with. So with COVID specifically, I think that allowed us all an opportunity for increased communication with our team members in a different way. At my organization, we had just a couple of months previously rolled out a whole lot of new technology, thankfully. And so we were really able to get, sufficient usage of that and people, a quicker adoption rate than you would traditionally have with that kind of technology. So lots of policies related to COVID-19. One of the policies I'm most proud of was writing a policy to protect our employees and make sure that they didn't, have diminished pay if they had to be withheld from work due to symptoms or, possibly running into somebody that had COVID. But I think, we also looked at our health insurance coverage and increased our mental health coverage, as an example, brought in our employee assistance program to make sure they were able to provide support if needed to, those frontline CNAs and nurses who were dealing with all of the outbreaks. We created like mental health toolkits for folks and it's different though, because now on the end side of COVID, it feels like we've almost forgotten a little bit of what connection prior to COVID was like. And so trying to find ways to get back together and do things in person has been challenging in a way I don't think I anticipated. I'm working through that now. Other challenges, turnover. I think everybody's facing that right now, and what those compensation strategies and retention strategies can be to keep people. I know some of the things that we've been looking at is reworking our PTO policy. We're adding some new ancillary benefits like pet insurance, technology again, using that, trying to find better ways to make things simpler for people. Also looking at things like how do we provide parental leave coverage. So we enhanced one of our internal policies to provide that coverage for all parents instead of only being a female benefit for families. How do we support our leaders? I mean, there's just so many things you can do. And then, as I mentioned before, I think right now the other big challenge is closing that gap with retiring people and that knowledge transfer. And we're still working on that. I will throw out a plug for everybody if they're looking at a good professional development program. One of the things we've implemented at Givens is a company called Growth Space. And it's a huge network of professional career coaches and mentors that are able to do individual one-on-one coaching to anybody you want to enroll in that program. And it's been really beneficial for our organization.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that plug. We definitely could benefit from that for sure. And then I'll plug another thing, the Leading Age Summer Enrichment Program is going really well and things like that, working with the industry as a whole and with partners like Givens Estate, which has been a really good, strong partner for us and helping us to give students opportunities for internships, for mentorship, and for so many other things. And so just thanks again for that. And to plug that as well.
It's a great program. We're really enjoying our interns. So thank you for mentioning that.
Of course. Yeah. And so now moving away from those kinds of questions, more to the students again, I wonder, how do you think students should go about looking for guidance in the field of geriatrics other than, leading age and the other aforementioned thing?
Sure. So to me, I guess I think about this a little differently. I've never benefited myself from a formal mentorship.
Sure.
So my perspective is treat everything as a mentor opportunity. I think just through paying attention, observations on, what are the people that you are working with? What are they doing? How are they communicating on a day-to-day basis? I think that is really helpful. And I think, feeling part of the collective, how can you help plug in ideas and be part of that? Because I feel like I learn something every day from somebody, whether it's somebody actually in the office of, oh, don't do that, what they just did today, or, oh, I really like the way somebody phrased this and people really understood it, or even watching shows on TV and be like, oh, that monologue right there really worked in that conflict. I'm going to use that piece again. So I think the opportunities are everywhere. You just have to pay attention and really, really listen.
Right. Absolutely. And I guess if you could go back to college or to when you were a young professional, what would you have done differently to better navigate and explore your interest in geriatrics?
I guess I would have been aware of it before I landed in it. you know, I think that those of us that work in this industry are so lucky to be here. There's just so much to learn. I mean, it's really cool to have a job where you can learn from all of these life experiences that other people have had. And you don't often find jobs where you are just so appreciated.
Right.
And that's like residents, just, they're so kind and appreciative. I mean, I know there's always individuals that can be challenging, but overall, I just don't think you can find a better work environment.
Right.
So, I mean, just putting yourself out there. I would also say for those that are wanting to do internships, if you don't see something posted, don't let that be a barrier. Because I know for our organization, people call us and say, hey, I'm in this degree program. Can I intern with you for the summer? And we usually say yes. And we might not post something, but that doesn't mean it's not still an option. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Right. Good point. I always tell my friends who are a little younger than me that the best internship opportunities are the ones that aren't posted. Because, you know, when you have like such a small door where everyone's trying to rush in, you for neglect the ones that are the paper walls that you can rush right through.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. And just one last question, just to circle things around. What are some top books that you've been reading recently that you enjoy quite a lot that you think you would recommend to some students to look into?
Sure. So as at Gibbons, as a leadership team, we all just read the book Conversations Worth Having. And that's by Sherry Torres and Jacqueline Stavros. And so that book is all about appreciative inquiry and how to guide and shape conversations to have more positive outcomes. Right. So there's a lot of work being above the line and below the line. And I think it helps set you up to communicate more effectively. I think that's a really good one. I think for anybody that is looking at becoming a leader, it's a real short read, which I love, Listen Up Leader, because I think in that book, it talks about how everybody's always watching if you're a leader. And I think it's impactful just to read it and realize that. And then not a book, but a podcast. I would say A Bit of Optimism by Simon Sinek is a great one. I know every episode I listen to, I feel like it helps reframe something in a really powerful and positive way. That's a really good one.
Perfect. That's wonderful. I'll definitely look into that myself after this interview. Well, thank you so much for your time. Sincerely appreciate it. And we have so much to gain from you. And thank you so much again for participating.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Leading Age, the trusted voice in aging, in partnership with Markentum, a marketing agency focused on the field of aging, is excited to present you with the Mentor's Voice. We believe that conversation between our field's mentors and the next generation of students and young professionals is vital for the ongoing success in the field of aging. Each episode of the Mentor's Voice podcast will feature a student or young professional interviewing a mentor. Through this conversation, the Mentor's Voice gives us all an opportunity to learn from each other, new and seasoned alike. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for listening to Season 2, Episode 23, featuring Christian Grunder, our last episode of Season 2. I keep hyping it up. It's pretty exciting. Christy, we are releasing this episode while we are here live at annual meeting together. Pretty exciting.
Very exciting. We have so much going on for students here at the annual meeting. One big thing is we have our booth. So if you're in the area and you're listening to this and you're at the conference and you haven't checked it out yet, we're booth 1824, not too far away from the Leading Age booth. So check us out. We'll be there with other student interviewers as well.
Yep, we're going to be hanging out with student interviewers at our campsite, gearing up for our aging service adventure. We got some fun games. We've got prizes. So come hang out with us. And as always, if you're not here in person at annual meeting, you can definitely come and hang out with us online. Check out thementorsvoice.com. And you can also find us on social media, specifically LinkedIn and Instagram. Those seem to be the best platforms, but we've got a couple others. But if you go to our website, you can connect with our social media and also subscribe to our podcast, listen through Apple, Google, and Spotify, whichever you prefer, until we get that sweet sponsorship deal with Spotify. Then, you know, we'll have to just be on that platform when we get offered millions. Stay tuned. Who knows what's going to happen with The Mentor's Voice in this upcoming season. We are excited. We've got some great guests lined up. And as always, thank you so much for listening to The Mentor's Voice.